MSU Today is online at SpartanPodcast.com. Here's Russ White.
I'm Russ White for Greening of the Great Lakes. Detroit and Michigan State University are working together to develop a broad program of food system innovation to promote local economic development, land recovery, and food security. Detroit Mayor Dave Bing, it's called Metro Food Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit. What is that and what's the goal?
Well, our goal is to develop a broad-based food system innovation program that's going to promote local economic development. Obviously, here in Detroit, we've got a lot of vacant land, and we are one of the cities that, where a lot of cases, we don't have the grocery stores that we had historically. So we've been fortunate here in the last several months to get commitments for a couple of new grocery stores to open up. But one of the things we want to take a hard look at is how do we utilize our land and create economic development and jobs.
And Mayor Bing, in your press conference announcing the partnership with MSU President Simon, she talked about big ideas, and she mentioned transforming Detroit and positioning the city as a world center for urban food systems technology and development. What does that mean?
I think with the technology and the education and the research that MSU does, I'm very pleased that they've selected Detroit as a partner from an innovation standpoint. And, you know, they're going to be, so I'm hearing, a huge population growth globally. And there's not going to be enough food around the world to feed that growth. So I think what Michigan State is doing is trying to get ahead of that curve and do some innovation and some research and development to make sure that we utilize the resources that we have here in Detroit to help feed not only Detroit and Michigan, but create a situation where we can probably export food around the globe.
And you started to touch on that, Mayor Bing, but Detroit, as part of this partnership, will be connected to an international community of cities seeking innovative solutions to 21st century food, water, and energy challenges for urban populations. Can you expound on what some of those 21st century challenges are for urban populations?
Well, so much of our population is starting to move back into urban centers. And once again, in most urban centers, you just don't have vacant land to grow product. And, you know, one of the ways that MSU is coming to the table is not only utilizing the vacant land that we have, but we have a lot of buildings here in the city of Detroit that we're not sure what to do with them. And they're talking about actually growing product in buildings. So you talk about vertical agriculture. And it's something that I don't know a lot about right now, so I've got a learning process to go through myself. But once again, Michigan State has done so much research around the globe that they think this is a really tremendous opportunity for themselves and the city of Detroit.
And Michigan State University, Mayor Bing, as you said, is the home of the network, being called, in this case, the Global Innoversity. Can you talk a little bit more about your feelings about partnering with MSU?
Well, you know, MSU historically has been a leader in agriculture development and what have you. And so as President Simon talked to me and understand the kind of challenges that we're having in the city of Detroit, I felt that this was an ideal location for us to bring our resources together and joint venture with this MOU. We're not sure where to go, but I think we're both open-minded, and we want the educators in particular to be as innovative and thinking outside the box as much as they can, because the problem for us as we get out into the year of 2050, we're going to have this population boom, And we got to be ahead of the curve, as I said earlier, to make sure that from an energy standpoint, from a water standpoint, from a food standpoint, that we can supply all of those resources to this booming population.
And Mayor Bing, what should people know about this Metro Food Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit? And what should people watch for in the next coming months as some immediate next steps?
I think the first thing that we'll do is to identify a location. And once we do that, then we kind of turn it over, as I said earlier, to the innovative minds of a lot of the people that work for Michigan State. And so we'll start bringing in, I think some intellectual capacity from the city of Detroit to team up with the intellectual capacity that MSU will bring to the table. And we'll let those people do their thing.
And Mayor Bing, you talked about it before, and I'm getting the feeling when I talk to you and President Simon and Rick Foster and people, this is much more than people just think of urban farming or urban agriculture. This is really what you're calling an urban food systems, technology and development program. What can you summarize the potential you see that for helping revitalize Detroit's economy?
Well, I think the first thing that we'll do is we have a resource unlike most urban cities, and that is all of this vacant land. And so we've got to, first of all, start looking at removing the contaminants from the land. I think secondly, where we can, we will utilize some of these buildings and get them back on in our tax base, which I think is a major plus for us. And I think from a technology standpoint, there are a lot of people that are interested as entrepreneurs, and they're not just talking about neighborhood agriculture. We want to transform some of the resources that we have into something much larger, but at the same time incorporating a lot of the neighborhood farms, if you will. We want to utilize them. We have somewhere, I think, in the area of about 80 different community-based farms, and we've got to make sure that those people are not just pushed aside. So there'd be the opportunity for the MSU leadership to integrate with the people that are already here and really kind of take a white sheet of paper and say, what's next? What do we think we can do that we're not doing? And what kind of help can we get from Michigan State and all of the research that they've been able to come up with? So I think it's a growing and a learning process for all of us. And in the end, from an economic development standpoint, I'm hopeful that it will be an industry that can create jobs, because that's what we need here in the city.
You started to answer my final question, Mayor Bing. Just lastly, how will we know in a decade or two when we look back if this initiative has been successful? What do you hope to look back on?
Well, I want to look back at the kind of facilities that I think that we could build or renovate in the city of Detroit. I want to make sure that the food system that we're talking about can help feed people in the city of Detroit and the state. And from an economic development standpoint, the potential, because we are logistically in a great location between Michigan and or Detroit and Canada. And so there's all kinds of trade opportunities, I think, that could become global. And so having said all of that, if we get the right kind of mindset from a creative standpoint, from an entrepreneurial standpoint, I think we can create an industry or grow an industry that will create a lot of jobs for people here in the city.
Detroit Mayor Dave Bing, thank you for joining me on Greening of the Great Lakes.
Thank you so very much.
All About the Metro Food Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit is online at msumetrofood.com. I'm Russ White for Greening of the Great Lakes.
Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com. You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
I'm Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, relocating to a new job or a new city is always a challenge. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, wherever you go, you'll have an instant circle of friends on hand to help you get settled and get connected. With more than 100 clubs and affiliates around the world, there's a Spartan in just about every city. And as an MSU Alumni Association member, you'll quickly feel right at home. Wherever you go, community, connections, careers, and class, four great reasons to visit alumni.msu.edu today to activate your membership in the largest Spartan organization in the world. That's alumni.msu.edu, the Michigan State University Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
MSU Today is online at spartanpodcast.com. Here's Russ White.
Rick Foster is the Kellogg Chair in Food, Society, and Sustainability at Michigan State University and co-director of Metro Foods Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit, which was described in a press release as Detroit and MSU working together to develop a broad program of food system innovation to promote local economic development, land recovery, and food security. And Rick, that's what the press release says. How would you describe MSU Metro Food and its mission?
Well, Russ, I think we would certainly have all those aspects that has been reported as part of the work. But I would put it just a little bit differently, I think. I think Metro Food Plus, the initiative is about addressing the significant needs that face the city of Detroit and many other post-industrial cities around this country at this current time, looking at blight and abandonment as the asset we need in the future to look at food production in a increasingly urbanizing environment globally, and learning about how we can go about doing that in the U.S. that has an impact on our global cities around the world.
And, Rick, I've heard President Simon describe the initiative as transforming Detroit and positioning the city as a world center for urban food systems, technology, and development. What does that mean?
Well, I think one of the other things President Simon had mentioned in our conversations earlier is that if we really look at the global trends, not only in the U.S. but around the world, we see some really sometimes frightening kinds of things happening out there. So I'm going to maybe paint that bigger picture for you and then talk about how Detroit can be a part of the solution finding around it. If we look out the next 40 years, and I know that that's a long time, but things happen very rapidly, and what we think of happens in 40 years usually happens much quicker than that nowadays. But if we look out in a 2050 kind of a time frame, we find that this world is very, very different than what we currently, witness it or experience it. One of the things is that the population of this world will be 9.3 billion people, up from about 7 billion today. And it will be approximately 70% of those people will live in large cities. So when we think of a Mexico City, for example, today of having 35 million people, the largest city in the Americas, maybe in the world, and that's in a metropolitan kind of a population. What happens to that city when it's actually 60 million people? And what happens when you put that many people together and ask the questions, the very fundamental questions about food, about water, and about energy? Well, multiply that times the cities that we know of in China, in India, in Africa, less so in Europe and the U.S., but certainly still significantly impacted by that kind of issues, and we find out that maybe the three most prominent issues that we have to face are how we will feed ourselves, how we do it with using less energy than we currently use, and how we do it with less water than we currently use. And we think that if we address Detroit's issues right now of blight and abandonment, of being a food desert, of having significant fundamental public health issues, chronic unemployment, we can actually address those in a way that we can help Detroit now, position it for future success as a thought leader in these areas, and be a global asset in the future.
And Rick, what are some of the key 21st century food, water, and energy challenges for urban populations, Rick, that the initiative hopes to address?
Well, when you look at the U.S., Russ, we talk about these post-industrial cities. Detroit normally is one of those cities that people point to, but there's actually about 50 of those cities around this country. And they are cities that are characterized by being large population centers that have emptied out in the last 40 years or so. And the characteristics is blighted, abandoned lands, empty buildings that were built at a time when they're very structurally sound, and they are sometimes about marginalized people still in the cities, but tend to be lower income, tend to be minority, tend to have less opportunity. So we think that if we start to look at the U.S. and how we start to repurpose that abandonment, we can actually be a global asset while we do the repurposing in those cities. So that's what we kind of mean by kind of the U.S. context for it. But if I go globally, it's a very significantly different issue in that cities like Johannesburg, South Africa, like Chennai, India, Hyderabad, India, many cities in China are going to be so heavily populated that they won't have land on which they can grow food. So they'll grow food in vertical structures, or they'll grow food maybe in a 300-mile radius of a city, and we will be dependent upon in the future the ability for a city to grow its own food within a reasonable food set of food miles, if you would. So let me just paint the scenario differently as well. If we do have 9.3 billion people in 2050, we will have to double our food production to feed that many people. And if we think about the issues that we currently face with water resources, with energy resources, we will have to actually double that food production using less water than we currently use and less energy than we currently use. Now, some would say that's impossible to do, but we would say that we have an opportunity in thinking this way because we can then invent the food system production possibilities of the future. And why not do that in Detroit and export that globally? So we think that anytime we can link the development of a city like Detroit or like Pittsburgh or like Philadelphia or St. Louis or any of the other post-industrial cities, if we can link that to what is relevant in a global context, we're assuring those cities' relevancy going into the future.
Rick Foster is my guest on MSU Today. He's leading a new initiative between Michigan State University and the City of Detroit, Metro Foods Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit. And Rick, can you detail a little bit more about MSU's role and what you and your colleagues will be doing?
Well, MSU has a significant set of experiences that we've gained globally. So the whole model, if we would, of prosperity and sustainability in communities is what's important to us. And we see that as our role of not only a land-grant university, many would say the first land-grant university in our 150-year history that we're currently celebrating, but also, as President Simon likes to say, our world-grant vision. Our world-grant vision says that we need to take this knowledge and experience that we have gained and apply it in a prosperity and sustainability model anywhere we can. Well, that then says to us that a lot of our future development is going to be based on innovation, working in community with people who are already there, who are trying to make their livelihood in those communities. So our role is going to be present, to listen, critically important that we listen to people in the community, to businessmen in the community who seek alternative options, to listen to government and the City of Detroit and how they want to align their policies to make this happen and how can we help them do that. So we need to be a resource and an asset on the ground to those people. One of the ways we can do that is to actually establish a center in Detroit around food systems innovation. And so one thing we want to do, the only physical structure we really envision a building is one in which brings a futuristic, I'm going to call it a greenhouse kind of an environment for growing food indoors. But it may not look like a typical greenhouse. But it's got to be a place where we can attract cutting-edge technologies from around the world to Detroit and have them coexist in a space that feed off each other and create new innovation. So we hope to build in the next several years, in the next couple of years, a physical structure, an innovation site that we can attract global technologies and start a process of putting them together to talk about indoor growing systems.
Rick Foster, can you summarize the potential you see for the Urban Food Systems Innovation Project to revitalize Detroit's economy?
Well, it's difficult to quantify. So the vision we have is that in an immediate 1 to 5 year kind of a time frame, that we add value to those operations, those food producing operations in the city as they currently exist and can grow with new technologies and new innovation so that there's more jobs, greater food availability, the food system is more socially acceptable, which means equitably available to everyone, and that the jobs are created out of this. We anticipate that, the city of Detroit, we know, has got about 70% of its population live in what we call a food desert. And that basically says that they do not have access to fresh fruits and vegetables in a quantity they need to consume for good health. What happens if we can improve that and create greater availability? What happens if we could actually grow jobs around producing food, but produce enough food that we actually process it and maybe even market it regionally or nationally or even internationally? So we see this as an immediate impact upon elimination of blight, transition of those resources that we tend to point out with disappointment, but what happens if it can be our asset for the future? So immediately that. Long term, we hope that Detroit is where people will look to, and Michigan State is a university where people look to for this global innovation around growing food in heavily populated areas.
And Rick, summarize what people should know now about this Metro Foods Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit, and what are some of the immediate next steps in the project we'll see unfolding in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I hope what people kind of take from what they read and we're in a development phase. We're definitely in a development phase, and Michigan State wants to do that in conjunction with people who already live in Detroit and are already making a significant progress. But maybe can have value added from a partnership with Michigan State and other knowledge-based institutions. We hope people will look at the potential for growth and not look at the political infighting that will certainly happen anytime you try to change a system, but to look to the long term for success that we can all experience together. I think patience is going to be important, but also in the spirit of innovation and entrepreneurship, I think it's how do we work together to create what we want for the city.
And Rick, in your mind, how will we know if it's been successful in a decade or two? If we look back, what do you hope to see?
If we were to look forward 10 years from now, and I think that's a safe bet to see actual change on the ground. I'm not sure if it's too much shorter than that, but 10 years down the road, I would see us being pretty much self-sufficient in food production to meet the needs of the city of Detroit. And that means that we would have increased food production on land and in buildings and starting to see the new cutting-edge technology addressing blight and abandonment in a positive way that's creating new jobs. I would think we're going to have a greener city. And by that I mean sustainability, fresh air, back to nature, more recreation and natural areas that have been converted from blighted areas. When I think, Russ, of the soils in Detroit, they're at varying toxicity levels and such that some soils can grow food immediately. Some should never be used to grow food. But we still have that blighted area that we have to contend with. And so I would like to think about how the city would have a new perspective about transitioning blight and abandonment to community value-added conditions like, for example, new parks, new recreation areas, new forest, if you would, urban forest, orchards, the kinds of things that we can repurpose contaminated lands in a variety of ways that all add value to the people of the city.
Rick, is there anything important I haven't asked you or anything you want to add about this cool initiative between MSU and Detroit?
Well, I would say that the thing to for us all to remember is that we're in this together. The citizens of Detroit, the business people in and of Detroit, even those with interests outside of the city that are active on an international level in food producing and processing and transportation, we're kind of looking at how do we strategically think about the city and its assets in a way that meets local needs but also is part of a global connection. I think what we all have to realize is that in a connected world, which we certainly are today, that the city will not thrive unless it is also connected globally. So the challenge, and I think we're up to it, is how do we make progress locally, connect it globally, so that we position Detroit as a global asset once again.
Rick Foster and I have been discussing the Metro Food Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit, which he will lead. There's much more information online at msumetrofood.com. And Rick, before I let you go, if you can take off your Metro Foods hat and put on your Kellogg chair and sustainability hat. And I know we could probably have a three-day conference on this, but I'm just curious, and it probably involves a lot of what we've already talked about. What kind of concerns you in the years ahead about this world becoming truly more sustainable, and then what are you hopeful about too?
Well, yeah, Russ, it's probably a conference in and of itself. But I think what I and several of my colleagues are working on together is what we call a global food platform. And in this, we look at all the dilemmas that can happen around food and its impact on this planet. And so we know, for example, that the way we use our petroleum resources is significant, and globally, most of our liquid petroleum is used around growing and transporting food. So if we can think about ways that we can use increased technologies to greatly reduce or greatly increase the efficiency of the way we use energy, the way we use water, we look at global food safety issues, the transportation of food globally, you know, this country actually imports food from 186,000 different sources around the world, not countries, but sources. And we know very little about, you know, how that happens at times. And so food safety with a rogue pathogen could raise great havoc in our global food system. So how do we think about those things, the public health issues, this urban convergence that we've talked about, how do we think about them together? And part of what we do with food society and sustainability framework is to link these knowledges together so that we consider them differently and maybe have an opportunity for problem solving differently as well. So a challenging piece that says that, my grandchildren who are, 3, 4, and 5 years old will live throughout this century and maybe even see the end of it. But they'll see a very, very different world than what I've seen, and their challenges will be very different than what I've ever faced. And so to me, it's about food, water, and energy, how they all come together for a quality life in the 21st century.
Rick, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today, and congratulations on getting this cool initiative in Detroit underway. Spartans will.
Yes, Spartans, will. And we have a lot of Spartan supporters out there. Some are our alumni, but many of them simply recognize MSU as the great global asset that it is.
Rick Foster is the co-director of Metro Foods Plus Innovation Cluster at Detroit, which we've been discussing. And again, the website for more information, msumetrofood.com. And Rick is also the Kellogg Chair in Food, Society, and Sustainability at Michigan State University. I'm Russ White for MSU Today.
You're listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
This is an association of the three research universities in Michigan to really collaborate on a deeper level than we have in the past and highlight for ourselves and for the region and for the nation the strength in technology, innovation, new research, investment that we think is going to help change the Michigan economy.
That's University of Michigan President Mary Sue Coleman.
The mission of the URC is no less than to help transform the Michigan economy and to make this a vibrant place that young people will want to come and stay, that businesses will want to be in, because we are a place where a lot is happening, and we have the brain power for the new economy. It's here. It's in Michigan. We just need to tap it.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
So Michigan is vibrant. Michigan has all these things, and we want to signal that to the entire world.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
Well, one of the things we want listeners to know is how connected we are, that we're in a response mode of addressing real-life problems in the real world here in Michigan.
Dr. Steve Pepke leads MSU Ag Bio Research.
Well, we're everywhere. We're the face of MSU across the state, in the local communities, with infrastructure and research expertise to address those local problems. MSU Ag Bioresearch is the research engine that undergirds the food and agricultural industry in the state, that undergirds our natural resource usage, recreational usages of sport, fishing, forestry, all of those things. And of course, with the recent interest in renewable energy, we have in a very big way moved into this arena as well.
MSU Ag Bioresearch.
This is Greening of the Great Lakes inside MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's your host, Dr. Kirk Heinze.
Well, it's a pleasure to welcome to Greening of the Great Lakes old friend Laura Mosier, who's the communications manager for the Michigan Milk Producers Association. Laura's also president of the Michigan Ag Council. And with her today is Dale Hollinsworth, who's chairman of the board of the Michigan Grocers Association. He's also with Customer Communications for the Kroger Company of Michigan. And they're here with us to talk about the Pure Michigan Agriculture Campaign that was recently launched, a campaign in which Kroger and MMPA and the Michigan Ag Council are among the major partners. Laura, we're going to start with you. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Kirk. It's nice to be here.
Let's talk about the Michigan Agriculture Campaign, the Pure Michigan Ag Campaign. What a great spinoff of Pure Michigan.
Yes, it is. And we're just really excited to be able to take the opportunities that the Pure Michigan Campaign offers to our industry. As you know, Kirk, agriculture is a top-ranking segment of the economy here in Michigan, ranking number two, and is a $90 billion segment of our economy. So being able to use the vehicle that Pure Michigan Campaign offers is a great opportunity to showcase the variety of products and commodities that are produced and grown right here in Michigan. And taking the Pure Michigan Ag Campaign out to the billboards and the radio spots just gives us an opportunity to tell our story to the citizens here in Michigan.
And I imagine when you're talking to the Michigan Economic Development Corporation and the Travel Michigan people, it wasn't much of a hard sell when you were talking about Michigan agriculture, was it?
Well, you know, they are familiar with our industry, but, you know, sometimes we find out that education needs to be done all across the board. And yes, they were excited to have another entity come forward. There's been several people interested in moving agriculture into a more prominent spot here in the way it affects our economy. So getting involved with MEDC and the Travel Michigan was just another tool that we had to help communicate to our citizens what the ag industry means to the people here in Michigan.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, you wear two hats. Now, the Michigan Milk Producers Association, you're the communications director. How is MMPA involved?
Well, MMPA is actually involved on two fronts. First of all, we're one of the founding partners of the Michigan Ag Council, which is a group of commodities organizations here in the state that is working to promote Michigan agriculture as a whole, not so much our individual commodities, but what it means to be a part of the ag industry here in Michigan and helping to tell that story. So we're involved in the Pure Michigan Ag campaign through my work with the Ag Council. And then as a kind of a spinoff of that program or working in parallel is the Pure Michigan Milk Program through the Kroger Group here in Michigan. Michigan Milk Producers is the sole proprietor and sole supplier of milk to the Kroger stores here in Michigan.
Well, speaking of Kroger, we do have your colleague here, Dale Hollinsworth, who is with Customer Communications for the Kroger Company of Michigan. He also serves as chairman of the board of the Michigan Grocers Association. Dale, it may be readily apparent to some of our listeners why Kroger might get involved in this Pure Michigan Agriculture program. But from your perspective, why did Kroger decide to get so heavily involved? I mean, you didn't get involved peripherally. I mean, you're a major partner in this effort.
Well, Kirk, it stems from several things. Let's say first, the customers want it. We're asked constantly, you know, well, what is a Michigan product? You know, I want to help the economy. I want to buy local, but I don't really know, and you're not helping me much here, so give me some help. So the demand came from the consumer to identify Michigan products, and that's what was the driving force behind getting this done. And then we had a built-in winner with the Michigan Milk Producers Group, and we looked at milk. Obviously, a lot of households use milk when you consider all of the Michigan products that are available. So we started with milk and worked with the Michigan Economic Development Corp. And I would have to say, Keith, the director over at the Department of Ag, instrumental in making this happen for us, too. We really appreciate his support and the whole Department of Ag's support. Laura and I have been thinking and talking and walking this since about December. So it was June Dairy Month was just a fabulous time frame to launch it.
Yeah, now you launched it in a couple of stores back in June, and now you're rolling it out to several more stores. But if I go to a Kroger store on South Cedar Street in Lansing, okay, that's a regular shopping spot for me.
Yes.
I'll just put that plug in there. But when I go into a store that's participating in this, what can I expect to see?
Well, actually, when you walk into a store, and let's say you're going to milk, the first thing you'll see is the pricing tag, the thing that shows you the price on there. Which is required by law under the new item pricing law that was enacted and went into effect in September of last year. It will say Pure Michigan right on the milk label right there. So consumers will be easily able to identify the Michigan product. When you go over to the cottage cheese and the sour cream dips and those items also that come out of the Michigan dairy in Livonia, those will also be labeled with Pure Michigan. And then the really neat thing is, and Laura touched on it a bit, is we also want to bring the farms, that these are family farms, and they're families just like you picking up your milk, Kirk. These are other families that actually produce and make the milk. And the Pure Michigan designation is that 51% of the value of the product has to be added in Michigan. But we're pretty proud of the fact that with Kroger Milk, it's 100%.
Provided by the Michigan Milk Producers
Absolutely.
Association.
From those local family farms. And, you know, most all the farms there are not only run by families, but they're multi-generational, which is, I think, just fabulous. I really enjoy going out and hearing, yeah, I'm the fourth, fifth generation. Or my granddaddy's farm used to be down on 8 Mile Road. And you kind of scratch your head and say, how was that? You know, but you have to remember the time. So it's a real exciting activity, event. I love it.
Yeah, we hear a lot about agricultural tourism and people wanting to buy local and niche markets and all that sort of thing. When the Kroger Company gets involved in something like this, I mean, your market research must suggest that this buying local thing is really a growing consumer trend. I mean, what does the future hold for this type of initiative?
Well, actually, I think because it came from the consumer, it came as a demand from the consumer, tell me what the products are, I think it has a tremendous amount of legs, and I think it'll be good for the economy. I think it'll be good for the Michigan agriculture industry. You know, that industry is one of the best kept secrets probably not just in America, but in Michigan too, is
the second most diverse agricultural state in the country.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about billions of dollars with a B, 91 plus is $1 billion, that has a tremendous economic impact. I believe I read someplace, Kirk, that that there's 1 million jobs associated with the agricultural industry also. And I think from Senator Stabenow's office, in one of her speeches, she mentioned that if every Michigan family just bought $10 worth of Michigan product, it would add $40 million a week into the Michigan economy. That's a huge number.
That's a big number.
And from Laura and I's perspective, we think they ought to start with a gallon of milk.
Well, putting on another hat, chairman of the board for the Michigan Grocers Association. Okay, Kroger's out of the chute with this thing. I mean, is it possible that there will be other retailers that will join the bandwagon as they see Kroger's success in this campaign?
Well, actually, I think they should. I'm speaking now on behalf of the Michigan Grocers Association, but I think they should be a part of it, because I think only by working together can we get all consumers in the state buying that $10 that's going to contribute $40 million to the Michigan economy. I am very proud of the fact that Kroger took the lead and stepped out of the box first, and is showing how this can be done. And this will roll through when we get into fresh fruits and vegetables, it's going to roll right in. You'll be able to walk in and see the same family farms. I saw a statistic 150 years ago, like 80% of America lived on a farm. Today, I think it's like 0.8% of the population lives on a farm. So as Laura has said, there's a tremendous disconnect on what is farming. And I think Michigan is very unique in the fact that it offers still the family farms is what's producing this $90 billion plus.
And the Michigan Ag Council, as Laura mentioned, but they're doing a great job of trying to educate people about all the great things that come from Michigan agriculture. And it's an educational effort that Kroger now can help with.
Yes, absolutely. And, Laura led her Michigan Ag Council group through getting every commodity certified as pure Michigan. So the blueberries and the soy and the corn and all the other commodities that are represented on the council do have the pure Michigan designation.
Well, I've been talking with Laura Mosier, who is a communications manager for the Michigan Milk Producers Association, also president of the Michigan Ag Council, and Dale Hollinsworth with customer communications for the Kroger Company of Michigan. Congratulations on this collaboration. Best of luck going forward, and maybe in 6 months or a year from now, we can have you both back to talk about the success of this program.
Absolutely. We'd love to.
That was Greening of the Great Lakes with Dr. Kirk Heinze on MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Find more online at greeningofthegreatlakes.com.
MSU, we love thy shadows.
Our mission is to be your personal network for life.
Scott Westerman leads the Michigan State University Alumni Association.
Sing our love for alumni.
So what that means is when you graduate from college, we'll help you find your first career. When you move to any city, anywhere, we'll help you connect and settle. If you're mid-career and want to reinvent yourself, we'll help you find a new passion. And if you need advice or a friend anywhere in the world, the MSU Alumni Association will connect you with the 500,000 Spartans out there that are always ready to take your call.
Join the Michigan State University Alumni Association online at alumni.msu.edu.
And thy praises, MSU.
Alumni.msu.edu.
The Michigan State University Department of Radiology is a leader in MRI, imaging research, and patient care. From world-class research to state-of-the-art patient care, we're providing outstanding diagnostic imaging technology. We're also a leader in sports medicine, delivering quality care to athletes and sports participants of all ages. Visit us online at rad.msu.edu and see how we are boldly designing the future.
MSU Ag Bio Research, leading innovation in food, natural resources, and energy.
We're the face of MSU across the state. with infrastructure and research expertise to address those local problems.
Dr. Steve Pepke leads MSU Ag Bioresearch.
MSU Ag Bioresearch is the research engine that undergirds the food and agricultural industry in the state.
MSU Ag Bioresearch.
This is MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Here's Russ White.
I'm Russ White for Greening of the Great Lakes. Lansing, Michigan-based O'Leary Paint received gold, silver, and bronze honors from Coatings Research Group, Inc. this spring. The research group tested regional, national, and international paint products, and O'Leary products were rated the highest of all 31 paints tested. David O'Leary is president of O'Leary Paint.
Well, we're just really proud to be able to be recognized in a national study that our products came in first, second, and third. It's unusual, and to think that a small guy like that can present in a national study that well, it's pretty unusual. It's never happened before where the same company took first, second, and third. And we've tested very well several times, and then we kind of keep it a secret. And this one put us over the top where it was really worthy of some distinction, where people were calling us from around the country saying they've never seen a study like that.
We belong to a lab group called CRGI, or Coatings Research Group, and it's a lab group of 30 paint companies worldwide, and they test all our raw materials and do the paint testing for us, so we have an independent lab, test our products, and we get a yardstick on how we're doing versus the market. And it's not, rather than us doing the testing, it's an independent lab, so we can trust the results we're getting.
That's O'Leary paint chemist Scott Bauer, who adds,
well, the rankings tell you is that we can produce just as good or better coating than all these large companies that have a giant staff of chemists. Since we're a smaller company, we need to be just as good or better because we don't have the name to push our paint. We have to have the quality behind our product and in the can to make sure that we don't have any problems.
No single paint company has ever taken the top three spots in this rating, says O'Leary.
Well, our focus has always been on the painter, the contractor, industry, and they tend to be very knowledgeable about what they're using. And they didn't need us to tell us that they made a quality product. They know firsthand. But for a homeowner, if you're only doing a project once every 4 years, it's really hard to know. And you rely on studies like this to tell you what kind of a product you're using because you don't have that experience.
Winning first, second, and third place respectively, O'Leary's Duramax 90 line, ceramic coat, and micro-spec paints are locally produced in Lansing, Michigan.
And we manufacture our own paint here. We're the largest paint manufacturer that makes house paint in the state of Michigan. Family-owned, and we produce everything right here. So, and we do all our research in the lab and make our own products. So we are producing all our products here for the Michigan market, and everything is formulated in this state and is meant for our climate because it is manufactured here and it is all tested here. So we're not making paint for the whole country. We're making paint for Michigan and northern Indiana. So I am trying to formulate coatings that match our climate and weather our climate very well.
As the largest house paint manufacturer in the state, O'Leary Paint outshone national brands such as Behr and Sherwin-Williams in the 2012 National Paint Ranking. Rating criteria included stain blocking, adhesion, water resistance, and washability, and O'Leary did not receive a poor rating in any category, the only brand to do so.
Bigger isn't necessarily better. We've got the same tools and technology that anybody does, and if you focus on a goal of making a quality product, you can surpass anybody in the industry. It's not that different from a bakery or a restaurant. The largest restaurant doesn't necessarily make the best food. If that were the case, then I think the United States military would be the best restaurant in the country. So I think if you care about quality and you can and we have the raw materials that are available, we can compete with anybody in the world. And we have. And I think that this is proven.
All three of O'Leary's winning products are certified as environmentally responsible paints by GreenWise Paint, a division of Coatings Research Group, Inc.
The big thing now is to make paint greener, lower VOC, which is volatile organic compounds, which evaporate into the air and can produce smog. So we're trying to eliminate or reduce the amount of these because there's a new green building code called LEED. So everybody's trying to get their buildings LEED certified, so we're trying to reduce that amount, be it keep the performance of the coating. Because we can make a zero VOC coating, A lot of times the performance of these zero VOC coatings isn't as good as it is with the conventional VOC. So what we're trying to do is make a midpoint, a very good quality, low odor with a small amount of VOC, because if we get rid of all the VOC, a lot of times we're starting to lose our performance.
Bauer says quality is the main thing to keep in mind anytime you're embarking on a painting project.
I guess the bigger thing you need to do, you need to buy top quality paint. Everybody makes different lines of paint, and your time is very valuable, and you want your paint to last a long time and look very good. The more you spend on your paint, the better quality coating you're going to get for the money. You're going to have better stain resistance, better durability, better look, better application properties, better hiding, so it should take you less time to put it on, and it should look much better and last much longer.
Learn more about O'Leary Paint at O'LearyPaint.com. I'm Russ White for Greening of the Great Lakes.
Turn it up, a little bit higher. Radio, turn it up, burn it up, so you know, radio.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Hi, it's Scott Westerman from the MSU Alumni Association. We've all heard the expression, it's all about who you know. And wherever you are on your career ladder, having a friend on the inside can make all the difference. When you join the MSU Alumni Association family, you're instantly connected to 500,000 Spartans around the world, many of whom are key decision makers in just about every major enterprise. Whether you're looking for a way in or a way up, your MSU Alumni Association affiliation can help you link up with that MSU alum who'll always take your call just because you're a Spartan. Building your network right now before you need it is the best possible career insurance, and joining the MSU Alumni Association is the best possible way to get the most out of your Spartan life. Learn more online at alumni.msu.edu. That's alumni.msu.edu. The MSU Alumni Association, your personal network for life.
The University Research Corridor, empowering Michigan.
Well, the University Research Corridor is a collaboration among Michigan State University, University of Michigan, and Wayne State.
That's Michigan State University President Luana Simon.
People of Michigan have made an extraordinary investment in us, but no institution can do everything. And we need to use our visibility and our cachet to advance the state of Michigan and its people. And the URC is a vehicle to do that.
Visit us online at urcmich.org.
It's not that it's the only game in town, but it is a game in town that brings, we hope, a spotlight to Michigan, and also tells the people of Michigan that we are committed to using the investment they've made in us to try to move the state forward.
Visit the University Research Corridor online at urcmich.org.
You're tuned to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for listening to MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR. Please visit us online at SpartanPodcast.com and join us every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock for MSU Today on AM 870 WKAR.